We're joined now by TSA Assistant Administrator for Civil Rights and Liberty, Ombudsman and Traveler Engagement, Christine Griggs. I want to start with a question from Sylvia Henry. She's the mother of Robert Henry, and she wanted to know what sort of training do the first-line TSA managers get, especially to interact with TSOs that maybe is not the kind of person that they would have lunch with, for example.
Yeah, sure. So our office works with our Office of Training and Development to come up with a variety of training opportunities for our workforce. Many of those trainings revolve around sensitivities as relates to screening passengers with medical conditions or disabilities, screening passengers who are maybe have some type of religious headwear on or things like that to educate them on what to expect and understanding the sensitivities associated with that. In the area of training our employees, some of the things that we do offer is training as relates to having crucial conversations. And, you know, for many who, you know, kind of come into a leadership role, it isn't natural for everybody to be comfortable with handling conflict or handling difficult situations. And so through our office, we offer crucial conversations training to some of our managers and supervisors to help put them at ease with having a conversation with an officer who, as an example, may not have come to work looking as professional as they would normally present or having a concern about something that was said, and giving them the tools to be able to engage in those conversations in a way that is respectful and in a way that gives the employee an opportunity to say what they have to say and be inclusive in hearing from them.
So has any of that training changed in the wake of Robert Henry's suicide, or is this, I mean, are you guys planning to keep the training pretty much as is?
No, so we definitely, over the course of the last, I would say, year or so, in cooperation with the administrator and a lot of his core values, we have expanded a lot of our training offerings to include things to help our workforce be able to communicate better not only with each other and with their leadership, but also with the traveling public. So not only are we doing the crucial conversations, we've also added training called Framework for Feedback, which is more on a kind of a basic level of saying this is how you would approach someone if you were having concerns about whether they were, you know, they had been coming to work late. This is how you would open that conversation and keeping it simple for them so that they're very comfortable in engaging with an employee about an issue. We've also introduced civility in the workforce training, which, you know, for some people you may think that's kind of a given, but, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and we all come from different places. And so we've offered some training on civility in the workforce, I think, which has also been helpful in terms of supporting the workforce and not only how they deal with each other, but how they deal with the traveling public.
Well, you said you guys have been working on this for more than a year. What was the impetus for doing that if it wasn't Robert Henry's suicide?
Well, one of the things that our office is always looking at is any type of trends or specific information that we see maybe happening across airports. My office works very closely with the Office of Human Capital and with investigations to take a look and say, hey, are we, you know, seeing some trends or some different things even coming into our contact center, or TSA contact center falls under my office. And passengers will sometimes write in and say, hey, I came through, you know, X airport, and this officer was rude and abrupt with me, and, you know, I think maybe you could, you know, do some training there, or you need to take a look, a closer look. And so my office will work with our customer service branch here in our office and work with security ops to maybe, you know, call up the leadership of that airport and say, hey, we've been seeing a trend in some of the complaints from passengers, and so we'd like to, you know, come out and maybe do some training in a particular area that we may see a problem with.
But have you guys been seeing a trend of TSA workers saying, coming forward and saying, hey, I'm not happy with the way my management is interacting with me? Has that been some of the trends that you're seeing?
So because I lead up the EEO office, that's pretty much, you know, why people are calling, right? They're saying that they're having a concern about the way maybe they've been treated. They feel that it's been a disparate treatment in some form or fashion, and so they'll call our office. I mean, that would be something that I would see as part of my you know, my daily work. Having worked in airports myself, I've been with TSA quite a while. You know, I have a sense of an understanding of how of some of the things that officers bring to work with them every day, and how that impacts their ability sometimes to have a conversation, or impacts their ability to you know, be able to portray the best of themselves every day when they come to work. So I think we work with the customer service folks at the airports and with our team to take a look at some of the trends that come in and some of the complaints that we receive, and really try to customize it and tailor it based upon what we're hearing.
Well, speaking of those EEO or Equal Employment Opportunity Commission complaints, there have been 400 complaints by TSA agents in 2018. Why do you think that there are so many allegations of discrimination within TSA?
Well, I think comparatively, let me start out by saying that if you look at another agency similar in size to us, like CBP, we're actually very close in the number of formal complaints when you look at, you know, the number of employees that we have. Also, if you take that 400 number and you look at all of our employees as a whole, it represents a little bit less than 1% of our total population of employees. And so I say all that not to say that I don't, you know, think that it's something that's worthy of us having a conversation about, but I think that it's inherent in just the work that we do every day, the requirements that we put on our officers every day to come to work and deal with sometimes not so friendly travelers, and to come to work and deal with us changing our screening procedures so very often that it, you know, sometimes it makes it difficult. So we put a lot on them, and I think that that is just part of sometimes what comes with that challenging work environment, and just the, you know, what I mentioned before in terms of sometimes having, you know, folks not necessarily being comfortable having certain conversations, or not necessarily understanding that as a leader, you know, you need to come in and you need to be supportive of your workforce. And sometimes that means you have to be concerned about the wait times, but you also have to be concerned if one of your employees came to work today and seems to be upset about something, or one of your employees seems to be struggling with something. You have to kind of be aware of that. And so we're working and training to raise that level of awareness across the board.
Well, you know, as someone who's tasked with protecting the civil liberties of the TSA employees, you know, what would you say to those who say, look, I've had this experience, you know, that have come to us and have been willing to share their experiences with us, but they fear that if they share it with you guys that they're going to face retaliation? What would you say to those employees?
So I would say that, you know, certainly part of my office's job is to, if there's any reports of any type of reprisal or retaliation that's going on in the workplace, it's my office's job to investigate and do an inquiry into that. But more importantly, it's our job to train managers and leaders on, you know, not to do those things, right? Sounds very simple, but not to do those things. But the other thing that I think that I would tell them is, over time, I've been with TSA since 2002, and I think that the trends that I'm seeing now and the complaint numbers that I'm seeing now are coming down significantly. And I think that that speaks to a lot of the efforts that we have afoot in terms of putting people in places to give our officers an opportunity to speak up sooner than later. And so what I mean by that is currently at four of our larger airports, we have a communications and solutions specialist who is positioned and staffed right at those four large airports that an employee can walk in at any given time and say, you know, that's it. I can't handle it, or I can't take this supervisor talking to me one more day. I need your help and I need your assistance. And that communications and solutions specialist can talk with that employee, can work with their management, and try to come up with a solution on how they can communicate and how they can get along better. And so what I would say to them is, you know, we have, over time, I think, tried to really, really expand those venues for them to do that. And that I think as an agency, we've also demonstrated that we do care about our employees. And I think putting these employees, these full-time conflict resolution people in airports, coupled with increasing the number of people that we have trained in airports to do conflict resolution and conflict coaching in general, is a good thing, and that I would want them to take advantage of that. And if there is concern about reprisal, that they should rest assured that our office will fully investigate that and that we will not tolerate that.
Well, and you know, not to be put too blunt of a point on it, but I think, you know, if you're a TSA agent and you hear, well, we are doing training and we're talking to managers and letting them know they can't do that, that's a little bit different than having your manager say, hey, if you blow the whistle, we'll figure out who it is and we'll come after you and you won't get away with it. You know, it's I'm wondering, you know, how do you get that message across to TSA employees in a way that they're going to be able to absorb it?
Well, I think it's up to each individual person, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we can certainly as an agency, and I can certainly as the Civil Rights Office, advertise and inform employees of their rights and of their responsibilities, and I can train management and I can train leadership. But in order to really make change, you know, we have to be aware of these issues or concerns. And that's one of the things that I used to, you know, tell our officers at some of the airports I worked at is, you know, give us the opportunity to address the problem first. Because we offer a lot of resources for employees to resolve their concerns. If you come into the EEO process as an example, sometimes that process can be very lengthy. And if you take advantage of some of the other informal methods that we have available now, which is increasing in number, I think that is a better way and a more efficient way to try to resolve some of the things that start to build up over time in the workforce.
Let me jump in. You know, you had mentioned previously that you've been there for a number of years and you're seeing the numbers come down. Can you talk a little bit about those numbers? You know, what were the numbers before? What are they now? And how is that trend? You know, how are you actually seeing that trend?
Well, I would say that, you know, right now you gave the number 400. So we're actually at 406. For fiscal year 18 in terms of formal complaints. You know, I think in years past, we used to be in the low fives around those numbers. I don't actually have all of them in front of me. But, you know, we were probably in the low fives where CBP might have been in, you know, maybe around 300 or so. So I think there was a more significant gap at that time. But right now, I would say they're at 419 and we're at 406, which I think is a significant decrease in the number of formal complaints that we've seen. And so, if I could just add a little bit about that. So I also think it's important to share that, you know, in 2018, we had our highest closure rate in terms of alternative dispute resolution numbers. So our percentage of actually resolving complaints before they got to the formal process was at its highest at 60%. And I think that that really speaks to how that intervention and those alternative dispute resolution sources are working in terms of getting solutions for people before they actually have to go formal.
Do you think that maybe, you know, having these people being willing to come forward in the wake of Robert Henry's suicide, do you think that maybe warrants a change, that maybe there is something that needs to change in the system then?
Yeah, and I think we're moving towards that in terms of our suicide prevention training that we're rolling out here, and just letting employees know that, you know, hey, you don't have to do this by yourself. If you don't, you know, necessarily feel comfortable talking to your coworker, you have employee assistance programs available to you. We do also have a few airports that have a peer support group. I think Houston is one of them, and they have employees there who take the time to actually talk with employees who may be struggling or going through a difficult time and have disclosed and said, listen, I need some support. So some of them are taking advantage of some of the peer support groups that the airports have created.
I'm kind of wondering if there's anything that I haven't asked you that you wanted to touch on when it comes to the issue of, you know, suicide and, you know, harassment within TSA.
Well, I think, you know, I would, part of our office's charge is to make sure that our employees, you know, can focus on their mission. And when they can't do that, you know, it's difficult. And so we want to make sure that when they come to work, that they can focus on what it is that they need to be doing and securing the traveling public. And so I want to make sure that they are aware that, you know, when something first arises or an issue or concern, that they should go first to their local leadership give them an opportunity to address it. One of the things that I have mentioned before is that I think a lot of the local leadership that we have in place in TSA at this time has been very good about, you know, creating environments like the Employee Advisory Council, Supervisory Advisory Council, Diversity Inclusion Councils that are co-sponsored by our office to give our employees an opportunity to really, you know, express their concerns early and give, you know, management an opportunity to address it sooner than later. And so I would just say that, you know, it's important for them to recognize all of the avenues that they have available to them, which includes not only the communications and solutions specialists, it includes our ombudsman's office, which you can call. They are a fantastic resource to help employees to either deal with an issue or refer them someplace where they can get further assistance, and that can be done in a confidential way. We have conflict coaches that we are going to grow that population of conflict coaches so that they will be available in our airports. And obviously the employee assistance program that's available to them. I would just want them to know that there are avenues that we have available to support them and that they should not feel like that they have to come and that they have to do this by themselves. And they also should not feel like that we are focused solely on our wait times and on our efficiencies, but we also really care about our people.
You know, the last line of Robert Henry's suicide note was, "Tell my managers I'll be waiting for them in hell." You know, when you hear something like that, what comes to mind for you?
I mean, it's heartbreaking. You know, it's really heartbreaking that someone would, you know, get to that point in their life, and more importantly, that there wasn't, you know, somewhere along the line that that could have, you know, we could have avoided that, and that we as a family and as a society could have avoided that. So it's shocking to me, and, you know, I don't ever want another officer to have to experience that or to feel that way. And so, you know, we've really taken it upon ourselves here, not only as an agency, but within my office, to really advertise and really market and really communicate the things that are available to support our officers when they have difficult challenges.
We've been speaking with TSA Assistant Administrator for Civil Rights and Liberties, Ombudsman and Travel Engagement, Christine Griggs. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.